Welcome to the Intro Biology Podcast. Today we'll be discussing fermentation. Fermentation falls into the class of metabolism that does not involve oxygen. And here it's important to make a distinction between fermentation and anaerobic respiration. Neither process uses oxygen, but they don't use oxygen for different reasons. Fermentation does not use oxygen because it does not use an electron transport chain. So if it's not using the electron transport chain, it wouldn't need oxygen as the terminal electron acceptor. It makes no use of the electron transport chain because all that it does is recycle the materials that are used in glycolysis to allow glycolysis to continue. That's the main purpose of fermentation. Anaerobic respiration, on the other hand, does use an electron transport chain, but it's said to be anaerobic because it does not use oxygen as a terminal electron acceptor. It uses something else in its place, for example, sulfate or nitrate. And things like sulfate-reducing bacteria or nitrate-reducing bacteria would be types of organisms that use anaerobic respiration. But because they do use an electron transport chain, they are considered to be doing respiration. In respiration, you'll remember NADH drops off its electrons at the electron transport chain, and when it does so, it recycles the NAD plus that was used originally to accept electrons. So as long as a cell or an organism is using its electron transport chain, it's constantly recycling NADH back to NAD plus so that it can be used again in glycolysis and pyruvate oxidation and the citric acid cycle to continue metabolism. However, in the case of fermentation, organisms are doing glycolysis, they're converting NAD plus to NADH as they're ripping electrons off of glucose and its following molecules. But the problem is if they're not using an electron transport chain, they have nowhere to drop off those electrons. So NAD plus continually gets converted to NADH, and eventually you get a buildup or a backup, too much NADH and too little NAD plus, so eventually you won't be able to do glycolysis. So fermentation's main purpose is to recycle those NADHs back to NAD plus, so at least you can keep doing glycolysis and get those two net ATP from glycolysis, even if you're not going to be able to use your electron transport chain. Now fermentation, this process of recycling NADH back to NAD plus, has several types, and two major ones that we'll discuss now are alcohol fermentation and lactic acid fermentation. Both of these processes, like I said, are going to recycle NADH back to NAD plus. The only difference is they may do so directly from the products of glycolysis or indirectly, as in they have a step in between. So first, let's talk about alcohol fermentation. Alcohol fermentation is the type of fermentation that reduces or recycles the products of glycolysis indirectly. So pyruvate, the product of glycolysis, is first broken down into a molecule called acetaldehyde that is then used to recycle NADH back to NAD+. In this process, when pyruvate is converted to acetaldehyde, one of the carbons in that three-carbon pyruvate is removed or lost as CO2. And that means that a gas is released during alcohol fermentation. And examples of organisms that do alcohol fermentation would be things like yeast that are used in baking or in alcohol production. So in bread, the yeast that's used in bread, when it does alcohol fermentation, it's producing CO2 that causes the bread to rise because CO2 is a gas. The other type of fermentation, called lactic acid fermentation, is the direct type, in that pyruvate, the product of glycolysis, is immediately used to recycle NADH back to NAD+. So pyruvate accepts electrons from NADH to form a product called lactate, and therefore directly recycling NAD+. Since this is a direct process and no other processing happens to pyruvate, there is no CO2 released in this product. Pyruvate is a three-carbon sugar, and so is lactate. This type of fermentation is something you'd find commonly in the yeast and bacteria that are used to produce cheese or yogurt. One important distinction here is when we bring up this molecule lactate, which is the product of lactic acid fermentation, there's sometimes confusion with what people hear when they think of strenuous exercise causing cramping due to the buildup of lactic acid. This might lead someone to believe that your cells, your muscle cells, are doing fermentation, But there's a little bit of a distinction here in that the reason there is lactic acid produced is because there's a temporary lack of enough oxygen to continue doing aerobic respiration. And so it's sort of a temporary shuttle of producing lactic acid so that once respirations increase enough so that there's enough oxygen in the body, that lactate will eventually be recycled and all of those pyruvates will move through the process of pyruvate oxidation, the citric acid cycle, and eventually the electron transport chain. So yes, while muscle strain and exercise produces lactic acid, it's not quite fermentation because those pyruvates or those lactates will eventually be converted back to pyruvate to continue using aerobic respiration. So just one clarification there on a term that's commonly heard in exercise. So now let's just compare what the outcome is of doing fermentation or respiration. Of course, previously we've discussed respiration, aerobic respiration, as producing up to or about 32 ATP molecules per one molecule of glucose. The most of that, of course, is coming from oxidative phosphorylation at the end of the electron transport chain, where the proton gradient created by the electron transport chain drives the ATP synthase and produces that ATP by oxidative phosphorylation. Of course, in fermentation, if you're not using an electron transport chain, you're certainly not producing all of that ATP by oxidative phosphorylation. The only ATP that can be produced are produced by substrate level phosphorylation. So remember, in glycolysis, you input 2 ATP during the energy investment phase, and you receive back 4 ATP in the energy payoff phase. So there's a net gain of 2 ATP per one molecule of glucose. So if all that fermentation is doing is recycling NADH back to NAD+, to allow glycolysis to continue, you're only ever getting 2 ATP per glucose molecule. Of course, certainly not as much as you're getting from oxidative phosphorylation, but at least it's a little bit, and at least you're able to continue doing it under no oxygen conditions when you're not using an electron transport chain. Now, just to discuss a few terms we use to describe organisms based on their needs or lack thereof for oxygen in their metabolic pathways. One type of organism is called an obligate anaerobe, and as the name suggests, they're obligated to do anaerobic processes. So they would be performing fermentation or anaerobic respiration, both of which, of course, do not require oxygen. Even more so, obligate anaerobes usually can't even live in the presence of oxygen. That is, that oxygen is toxic to them, so they really cannot be even in oxygen-rich environments. Another type of organism classified by its usage of oxygen, or lack thereof, is a facultative anaerobe. These are organisms that will use aerobic respiration, the more efficient process, when there is oxygen present, but if there is not oxygen present, they will simply switch to a different process, such as fermentation or even anaerobic respiration, if they're able to use a different terminal electron acceptor. Finally, we'll wrap up by describing how this central process of metabolism that we've gone over thus far in the podcast, that is the conversion of a glucose molecule through glycolysis, pyruvate oxidation, the citric acid cycle, and the electron transport chain, how this is one of many cellular pathways that all interact with one another. So first, let's just discuss again metabolism, or specifically catabolism, the breaking down of organic molecules for use in the cell. Remember, the starting material for glycolysis is a glucose molecule. Glucose usually is stored in other forms in the types of material that we are consuming in our diets. So for example, starch in plants is a polymer of glucoses. So when we ingest plant material in our diets, we have to first break the starch into those individual glucose monomers before they can enter glycolysis. Likewise, sometimes simpler sugars like sucrose that's used in cooking, baking, sweetening of foods is a disaccharide that needs to be separated to release the glucose monomer so that it can enter glycolysis. And then when we consume animal sources of carbohydrates like glycogen, glycogen is also a polymer of glucose monomers that first need to be broken so that those glucose monomers can enter into glycolysis. And so just to say that we usually don't encounter glucose on its own in our diets or in nature, usually we have to harvest or release them from polymers that store them. As I mentioned before, not only do we get glucose and these metabolic pathways just along the path we've described, we also get breakdown products of other pathways that enter into this process. So for example, fatty acids are another really high source of energy in our diets. And fatty acids can enter into this pathway when fatty acids are broken down by a process called beta oxidation that breaks those long hydrocarbon chains into two carbon fragments that can then be converted into acetyl-CoA, which was the product of pyruvate oxidation, and therefore enter the citric acid cycle. And this is what allows other macromolecules besides carbohydrates to also contribute to the energy needs of our cells and the production of ATP to be used for other cellular processes. And just one more note about this pathway, glycolysis, pyruvate oxidation, citric acid cycle, electron transport chain, and now its interaction with other macromolecules. This is also not a one-way path. These paths go in both directions. So for example, not only do we break glucose down into each of its subsequent products that go through that chain, we also see the products throughout glycolysis, pyruvate oxidation, and the citric acid cycle going out from the chain to build other molecules. So for example, acetyl-CoA can be used to synthesize proteins. There are products from the breakdown of glucose and glycolysis, such as glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate, that can be recycled and reused to synthesize glycerol, which was the backbone upon which we build fatty acids and phospholipids. And so you can see that not only do things flow into this chain from proteins, from carbohydrates, from fats, they also flow out of the chain to rebuild those molecules. This would be, of course, an anabolic pathway where we're building larger molecules from smaller subunits. And just now to discuss also how these chains are regulated. We previously discussed a mechanism called feedback inhibition, where the products of a reaction feed back and turn down the activity of the enzyme that made them. It's a simple and elegant way that biological systems can control the rate at which a reaction proceeds, where you slow it down when you start to make enough product. And this mechanism is used in metabolism as well. So for example, there's one key enzyme in glycolysis called phosphofructokinase. It catalyzes one of the key steps in glycolysis and sort of sets the rate or the pace of glycolysis. It is regulated by feedback inhibition, where some of the products of this metabolic pathway we've already been discussing feed back and turn down the activity of this enzyme. So for example, ATP that's made throughout glycolysis, the citric acid cycle, and the electron transport chain and ATP synthase, when ATP levels rise, they actually feed back, bind to the phosphofructokinase enzyme at an allosteric site and turn down its activity, thereby producing less ATP. Similarly, a product of the citric acid cycle called citrate also feeds back, binds to an allosteric site on phosphofructokinase, and turns down its activity. So both of these mechanisms serve to turn down the key step in glycolysis when you have enough or too much product, which is a nice way of regulating how quickly or how much of these products will be produced. And not only is phosphofructokinase turned down by the products of this pathway, it's also turned on by the absence of these products or signals that signal their absence. So ATP, like we said, is an inhibitor of phosphofructokinase. But when ATP gets used or hydrolyzed, it gets converted to ADP and eventually can also be broken down to AMP, adenosine monophosphate. Adenosine monophosphate, AMP, is actually a signal in the cell that says you're running low on ATP. And so, of course, if that were your situation, you would want to turn up the activity of phosphofructokinase so you can hopefully make more ATP. And that's exactly what AMP does. AMP binds to phosphofructokinase and stimulates its activity, so it speeds up this metabolic pathway and ultimately produces more ATP to meet the cell's energy needs. So just to summarize what we've talked in this episode about, Anaerobic respiration does use an electron transport chain, but it uses different final electron acceptors than oxygen, such as sulfate or nitrate. Fermentation also does not use oxygen, but it's because it doesn't even use an electron transport chain, and its main function is to recycle NADH back to NAD+ to allow glycolysis to continue. One type of fermentation, called alcohol fermentation, is an indirect process where pyruvate from glycolysis is first broken down, carbon dioxide is released, and then it is used to recycle NADH back to NAD+. Lactic acid fermentation is a direct process where pyruvate is immediately converted to lactate, and this is the type of fermentation used to produce things like cheeses and yogurts. And alcohol fermentation is the type that's used to produce products like beer, wine, and bread. Organisms that can't live even in the presence of oxygen are called obligate anaerobes, and so instead they would be using fermentation or anaerobic respiration. Facultative anaerobes are organisms that can do aerobic respiration, and they prefer to, but they can also switch to doing fermentation or anaerobic respiration when there is not oxygen present. Catabolism is a process of breaking down proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, and these can all be used to eventually synthesize ATP. But you can also work backwards where the products of that metabolic pathway can be used to build those macromolecules in a process of anabolism. Phosphofructokinase, the key enzyme in glycolysis, can be turned down in its activity by feedback inhibition from ATP and citrate. It can also be turned up or have its activity stimulated by the presence of AMP, which is a signal in the cells that they're running out of ATP.